And as we look to the Lord, you might want to open God's word to the first epistle of John and chapter 3. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence. It is our privilege to be in your presence. Thank you very much. So deal with us. Honor yourself. Honor your word. Honor your wonderful grace and your mercy. Thank you. Thank you very much. Think of the sick again, those in trouble and need and all kinds of things, those away. God, John, it's your place, your people, for your honor and your glory. So take care of it. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise of late, we've been looking at the study of the first epistle of John in the light of the Gospel of John, and it's 21 chapters. And so the Spirit of God is trying to get us to understand God, really, when it says in John 20 and 31, when God says, believe that he is who he is, he means believe it. And all that he's provided by his death, burial, and resurrection is real and wonderful, and it is to be exercised and enjoyed. And it's serious business that cost God to humble himself, as it were, to lower himself, to condescend, to be what? To be become sin for us, to save us. So, when we come to 1 John, the time has gone on, and in the process of all those years, things have been busy, trying to keep what? People, the devil, the system, world system, to keep people from enjoying God's saving grace. So, there's all kinds of things. The Greeks have all kinds of things. People have got all kinds of things about God, about Christ, about Christians, and they've got all of that. And so all of that, so when people come to know the Lord as their Savior in this period in history, when they come, they've got all of that going on, they're bombarded with that. So here's the Apostle John bringing the gospel message, and here's all the stuff from all the people in all the different ways. So who do you believe? How do you believe? What do you believe? So, in the process. And therefore they weren't enjoying. They were not exercising that which they had believed. They had received Christ. Many of them had received Christ. Let's assume the saved. And many of those that have received Christ, they weren't enjoying Christ like they needed to. So the admonitions are there. To what? To get with it, to have understand your new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. You have a brand new relationship to God and a brand new relationship to all the world around you, to all the humans around you. You have a new relationship to them. Different. It's different. So, keeping that in mind, if you would. So they're driving home the point, you're really, really saved. When you receive Christ as your Savior, that's where he went. You received him into your heart. God in his awesome person, in the light of the perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, seated in heaven, who has died and paid the price. So God is able to go and give us that unique relationship that our Lord Jesus made possible to God Almighty. So we have that relationship It's for real. It's not part-time. It's not here and then gone and come and go. It's a permanent, wonderful, real relationship. When you're born physically, you don't keep getting reborn physically. When you're born spiritually, you don't keep getting reborn spiritually. You have a unique relationship to God that exists this moment. That's the issue. Maybe it's in jeopardy. I'm not keeping the law. I'm not doing this. Maybe it doesn't matter what I do because I have a sin nature, so go live it out. Outlive it. No. No. You want to exercise and enjoy that which happened to you when you receive Christ as your Savior. So, having said that, in 1 John, we share together that God is trying to drive home that point for the human heart to understand the relationship. And therefore, when we did in verse 10, in this the children of God are manifested, the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And we did all these things. So here we are looking, and there's two groups. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent. There's saved people and unsaved people. Unsaved people, all kinds of religion, all kinds of ways, but they're not saved. What's missing when you say saved? They have not received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. He's absent. So when we go around, Christ is here, Christ isn't here. As simple as that. Doesn't make any difference. Say, well, whatever you do, whatever activities you've done, baptism, communion, membership, counting the beads, whatever you want to do. Do whatever you want to do. Heaven, you got it. But it doesn't give you any life. It doesn't give you Christ. You have to receive him, no matter how you do it. So either you're saved or you're not saved, whatever you're doing. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so one or the other. Now, God is trying to drive home the point to us as he, in the epistle. He's trying to help us understand. You understand, I want you to, you have, it's a wonderful thing. God has done it. In the light of heaven, it is finished. In the light of earth, you're struggling with it. You don't need to struggle with it. You need to lock it in. Therefore, as we read in verse 11, and this is the message that we heard from him, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew wicked one, who slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. So Cain, first one born, and he did not like the fact that Abel followed his mother and father and believing. Cain did not want to do that, as we shared all those things. And so he was so frustrated with God and with Abel and with everything. So he acted, verse 1, and what did he do? He slit the throat of his brother Abel and killed him. Now, that's what he did. That's his own brother. It's the only other one on earth. He killed him. Now, and so therefore, in the light of that, you then come up with verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. And you want to remember the condition and the conclusion. The condition, if the world hate you, the opposite. And the conclusion is, don't be all, the word is stop. Stop wondering. Stop being astonished. Don't be shocked. The world hates you. Don't be shocked at that. Don't be upset with that. Well, I was doing what I do wrong. The world hates you. You need to get that across. And God said, And they were doing it. They were all upset because they weren't being accepted everywhere. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, so therefore doing the thing, they ought to walk in the light as he is in the light, and that's what they needed to do. So therefore, they hated, not so. In order to start, get that a little better to where we're trying to go, to look at. So, over if I can please, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John in chapter 3. And in chapter 3, you will please note. Chapter 3, John, and we're looking at what? The world hates you. Why does it hate us? Answer, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, judged. But he that believeth not is condemned, judged already. Because, the reason, he hath not believed in the name of the Son, of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And every one that doeth evil hateth the light. It hates the light, that's all. Darkness hates light. The minute you turn lights on, the darkness disappears. That's the way it is. The minute you get something and see it for right it is, then all the stuff that's wrong disappears. When you see it for what it is, think of the color chart or something, then you can say whatever, but when you put the color chart up and compare it, you see that it is that particular color. So, in verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds, his works should be reproved. So, we hate the light, and we're condemned already. So therefore, the Cain crowd, if I can use that word, the Cain, the unbelievers, people that don't believe, you can understand why they don't believe. They love darkness rather than light. They don't feel they have, should be judged. Why should you pick on me? What did I do? And condemned already, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not, N-O-T, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So why am I condemned? Why is God's wrath on top of my head, like the guillotine? Why is that over my head? What did I do? Well, I don't deserve anything. And why should Abel, using Abel and Cain, why should Abel have it, be out, not, isn't condemned? Why am I condemned? Why am I judged? Who am I? What did I do wrong? So what are we doing? We hate the light. We love darkness. We don't want God's. God, your way of doing things is not our way. Therefore, we hate. Again, little 1 John, you don't have to turn there, 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. Stop being astonished because the world hates you. Stop being astonished. Don't you understand? If you're going to have light and truth, the world doesn't want it. And they're going to react to it. As long as you compromise and say it doesn't matter, I believe this, but you can believe it. It doesn't make any difference. It does make a difference. So, having said that, over if I can to John chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, picking up if I may, going if I can, chapter 8, verse, I'm going to go to verse 39, remember the context. Chapter 8, verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But they really aren't very good being like Abraham. Verse 40, but now you seek to kill me. Now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this doeth did not Abraham. This did not Abraham. Abraham doesn't want to kill me. No. You want to kill me. That's what you want to do. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. You have received Christ as your Savior. Light. And the world hates, doesn't mind an empty heart or cover the light. But to let the light shine, it's going to hate you. Therefore, they're going to try to kill me, the Lord Jesus said. Chapter 5. Go back. John chapter 5. And you remember, chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 18. John chapter 5 and verse 18, if I may. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him. Why? Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And God, you have no right to do that. God had no right to be God. God had no right to be who he is. They hated him. That's what they did. They didn't love him. They hated him. So therefore, keeping that in front of you if you can, and sliding over to chapter 15. And adding to that, our Lord Jesus in the upper room, we just read it, chapter 15, the Gospel of John, the need to be abiding. And in chapter 15, picking up, please, in verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And you ought to know that. When you receive me, they already hated me. When you receive me, they hate you. Simple. You're on the wrong side. You pick light instead of darkness. Therefore, verse 19, if you were of the world would, what? Love you. Hang on to that one. The world would love you if you stayed in the dark. If you just stayed there, the world would love you. Love his own. Because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You have to be a genius now. You can't put light to hate. That's the way it is. And you know, and now hang on. Go in the light of that, John. Picking over chapter 17, John chapter 17, and do it again. John chapter 17, and if I may, picking up, and in verse 14, 17:14, as you know, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Because, why? They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not for that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil one, the devil himself, who loves. He's the god of this world system, darkness, loves darkness. So therefore, understand, chapter, you have to turn there, 1 John 3:13. Stop wondering why the world hates you. It's not a tricky question. It's not a difficult answer. You receive light, and the world hates light. Don't make a big issue about it. Just understand it. God hates light. I mean, the world hates light. Therefore, in the light of that, if I can, so therefore, God, you're going to go, we're going to look to you to deal with us. And remember, we share together that we're special, we're made very special. We aren't made in the image and likeness of God, Genesis 1, 26, 27. We're made special for God to find himself. And we aren't like the animals, like we shared. Animals have instinct, it's built into them automatically. They just do. Spiders, cats, birds, all do just exactly like they don't have to go to school. They just do it perfectly. Perfect spider web again and again by each spider. Yep, instinct. But we do not have instinct. We need God. God has made us so that he, no instinct we have. We have God. God makes the difference in a human heart. The human heart is made for God. The car is made for gas. You and I are made for God. For God, to make it run, to make it work, wonderfully work forever, to glorify God. That's what we're made for, to know him, to be in the light as he is in the light. Therefore, we are looking to God and to outwork his wonderful will, and God's going to go and show his love in a most wonderful way. God loves so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and God is going to show himself in his children in a most wonderful way. So in the process, we ought to understand being loved. We're loved. God's loved us. Now what is God is love? When you say love, don't use your human understanding of love. That's all over the place, like we shared last time. Love means many things to many people. Depends on what time how you're using it. To love pizza, to love your cat, to whatever it is. And we do it. So don't go by that. No. God is love. God created us to find himself in the human heart. God created us to glorify himself. So, God, when we look at God's love, what are you going to do, God? What is love? You're going to go, and the human heart is going to find God's wonderful purpose for their life. They're to be conformed to his image. They're to be like his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. They are to be able to be a visible, clear, visible sight to see the Christian, to see the believing heart, to glorify God in the midst of the understanding that God is ever present and invisible. His awesome person makes himself visible to glorify, and especially with, not getting sidetracked, with the angels, the good guys and the bad guys, in heaven and hell, to glorify God, to show God's wonderful purpose in creating us humans. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so God loves us, the so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, and so therefore, if I can, go with me, please, back over to 1 John. And in 1 John, remember God's loving, forgiving, sanctifying, set us apart. We're being his body in the most wonderful way. So, and God places us, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to place us in his Son. That's what he's doing for the church in this age of grace, to show his wonderful saving work. In the human heart, God is to find himself in the human heart, showing A, Christ, B, the purpose of God creating humans in the first place, for God to find his home, for God to find his place in the human heart, to be able to know that. Now, so therefore they're going to go, and God loves them. He loves them. Over to 1 John and chapter 3, and you'll pick up, if I can, in verse 14. We know that we are knowing that we have passed from death unto life. What are we knowing? What are we assured? We're saved, absolutely saved. All the truth that God's trying to get across is true. We know we're saved. We know it. God did it. God says it now in a most wonderful way. And now God, having we know it. Well, now, do you really want to know? What's the evidence you have? What evidence? Now you say, I believe God and I received it in my heart. I can't see that. I can't see that. I could see the outworking of it, you know, but I can't see that. I don't know that you did or you didn't, unless you somehow manifest some form of life. Therefore, verse 14, do you really want to give, so give some evidence. Don't you want evidence? Do a different way. If you're going to die in the next 10 minutes, wouldn't you want to know you're really saved? I don't know. Wouldn't you really want to know that you're saved and safe? Whatever. Sure. What are you saying, God, in 1 John? You know that you've passed from death unto life. And the world and you would like some evidence. I read your word, God, and I believe it. I believe it. Well, that's good. That's right. You are saved. Now, isn't it nice, though, to have some evidence? Have some evidence about something. We got some of that going on nationally. Where's your evidence? Where's your evidence? Let's see your evidence. Well, I don't have any evidence. You see? Where's your evidence? God said then, what then? Verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Where's the evidence? You love your brother. Now, that needs some help because practically speaking, that's very rare and not very often understood to practice it. So let's put some little pieces out there that may be helpful in doing this. Now, so therefore, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he finds his home in your heart. So therefore, that you're saved. When this side receives the Lord as their Savior, and God finds his home in their heart, what's common? I'm pointing it like a little sign. God behind up here. God sees himself over here. God sees himself over here. That's how he sees himself. Doesn't he? He doesn't see two different people. He sees himself, and he sees himself. What are you saying, God? Well, God says, I love him, I love him. I'm loving him, I'm loving him. I'm loving them. I'm loving them. Aha, that's right. That's what you're doing. And if I take 25, like in the early church, 3,000 are saved. God sees them, and they're of one mind and one heart. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, they were marvelous. All these people, all over the place, rich, poor, publicans, tax collectors, and everybody. And all of a sudden, they're one heart, one mind, one soul. What on earth? And all the people looked and said, wow. And that's why all the opposition that you're finding in 1 John. The opposition is, this is overwhelming. We can't fight this. How do you fight? How do you fight such evidence. They all are one. They love each other. God's loving each of them, and the loving God, fill in parenthesis, I, the believing heart, needs to be enjoying God's love. You do too. I enjoy being loved by God. I don't want to ever walk away from His love. I enjoy being loved. And therefore, I am loving being loved. And the more I love being loved, do you understand? We love Christ in us. I'm going to have to turn around and wherever I find Christ, I find my love. I find my love in Christ in you. I find my love in Christ in you. One, what's common? Christ is. Christ is common. The same purpose, the same plan is to love God. Otherwise, there's no connection. Hang on, it'll all come out. It'll take a little while, but we'll get it. Now, in the process, so we love. And in order to get that a little better, I don't have, but using the trees again, and you read in John chapter 15, though I am the vine, they are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him the same, bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, verse 5, you can do nothing. Abide. Now, if you can use your imagination, I'm going out, I'm going to take a tree. I see the tree. I say, okay, there's the tree. There's all the different branches. So I'm going to put my hand on this branch right here. And this branch is on the tree, and on the tree, and the leaves are growing on the branch, and the fruit, pear tree, going to grow right on the branch. There it is. There it is. It's on the branch. The life of the tree is in the branch. It shows itself in leaves and fruit. Now, that's the truth. That's legit. Now, I'm going to look at the other. And every branch I look at, each branch has the same water in it, the same life. It has the same leaves. It has the same fruit. Does it not? So all the branches united, are showing the love of God, showing the love of the tree, showing the tree, do you understand? But they have to be abiding. If they aren't abiding, they don't show that. You see? So how do we love one another? You have to be abiding. If you're not abiding, you're missing what? 1 John chapter 1. And what do you know when we started 1 John? 1 John chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and hear it, hear witness, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and which was manifested unto us, this wonderful life relationship, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. That's why we're reading and trying to understand. That purpose, you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Wow. Now, so therefore, God, what are we going to do? What's common? Christ is common. What makes fellowship possible? The tree is common. One tree, many branches, showing the tree. The tree, believers, one God, one head, one Christ, one body, Showing what? The many, many parts. What are all the parts? They all enjoy the same life, the same love, the same Christ. They all enjoy the same thing. So as they're enjoying that wonderful, wonderful life, they're all going to what? They're all showing the same thing. That's what they're doing. But if they're not, but you cannot abide. You cannot, if you don't, do it this way. You cannot leave God the Father out. If you do not have fellowship, you do not, all you have is a bunch of believers that are sharing and talking as normal, but you do not have show the love of God. You can't show the relationship without God. It has to be common. The tree has to have every branch, the same life in it. And you can't just have a group over here and a group there and a group in groups. That's what we have, cliques and clans. We got them all over the place. And that's what we do. And we have fellowship. We pick up friends. That's what we do. That's what we do. Fellowship. The evidence. The evidence is what? You love the brethren. I love God in you. You want to love God in me. But if I'm not in fellowship and I'm not abiding like the branch, I don't have that relationship. I need God, and you need to be in God's fellowship so that what's common to us, the same person is God in us. That's what makes us one. Without it, there's no one. We're just friends, and we call it fellowship. We call it the church in oneness, baloney. We need to see it. It's alive. It shows God. Love the brethren. If you love me, love the brethren. That means I have to love God. And if God isn't going to be, all these different ways we can do this now to help you understand, it's real simple. And the reason it isn't found is because we aren't that close to God normally in our world system. We aren't that close to God. No, we do it, don't we? We pray. Well, why don't you pray without ceasing? That's what it says. Keep your fellowship. Keep a staying attached. The vine doesn't go off and on. The branch doesn't go off and on. The branch stays attached in order. Why? And that's what God's trying to drive home. The reason you lose your enjoyment of being attached to the tree is because you're caught up in thinking, and you're thinking wrong, and you leave God out of the picture. What happens to the fellowship? What happens to the abiding? You aren't doing them. So there's no connection anymore. The reason they connect is God. That's what makes us connect. All the rest is just church people. Protestants, Catholics, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to be, go be it. People do. But you don't. The evidence. You want evidence for you personally. I love God and I love the brethren. I do. When I don't see it, I can't have fellowship. There's no carnal. I never, there's nothing. You got to have same God. We're in fellowship. And it shows up like that. That's how we have fellowship. So it isn't much. You don't know him. No, you have to have that. And you, it's awesome, but it won't happen. And what First John 3:14, A, we love the brethren and we love God. So as we let God love us and do a wonderful work in our heart, we're encouraged. We love God. We love God saving people in a wonderful saving way. And we love God doing that. We do. And people that don't, they aren't saved. They aren't saved. Be with people for hours at a time, and you never know. Days at a time. Years at a time. Years. And never know. You never know. You never know. No. So therefore, you don't really have fellowship. You only have fellowship when God is dealing with your heart and my heart and taking it and do what we do. And what we do here, we are talking to whatever. And if your heart's right, resting in amen, if you're trying to follow, then we're trying to understand. That brings us to a union and understand. We're trying to understand something in order to practice it. And by the way, 1 John, God expects, as we shared, God expects truth, life to be lived. God expects it. It's very, very practical. Being saved is the most practical, wonderful thing. Being a healthy spider enjoys making its web and catching flies. That's what it does. So as for our own heart, we're assured, I have evidence. Oh, I have his word, but I have the reality that I love being loved. We love being loved by God, and we love God, and when we find God and look to God, God's loving us, and I'm loving wherever God is. But if they're abiding, I'm the branch. We're branches. I'm the branch. I look up, and all the branches are the same. I look down. All the branches are the same. That's right. We're all abiding. Here's another tree over here. But here's a tree, not a good tree, a bad tree. And here's a bad tree over here. I'm not with that tree. I have nothing to do with a bad tree. Carnal Christians, earthly, fleshly, yeah, they do what they do. That's what they do. And we preach and do whatever we want. I'm just telling you. I'm just trying to be real. And you are too. It's very practical, wonderfully practical. I mean, what's practical? You really are loved. And God really loves you. And God wants to make you conform to the image of his son. That's awesome. Religion doesn't do that. God does that in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So you want to enjoy that and exercise that fellowship and abiding in a most awesome, awesome way. So the fellowship is at once very practical, pleasing to God, and very profitable to the human heart, because we need some stability. We need some place to rest in a shaky world, in our old sin nature that takes us all over the place. No, I need to rest on solid ground. Where's the solid ground? God said, I didn't give you instinct. I am your instinct. God becomes our life. He is our life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is our life. And he brings his life. So that's what I need to rest in that. That's unshakable. No one can disturb it. No one can take it away. And at that I need to rest in. I'm being loved. And that's the main. I got that. So all the rest now I can work out because I'm being loved in a wonderful, wonderful way. And I can God, and God's going to go and do what he does. So I need to be it needs to be practically practiced and do it. The devil hates it. You can understand that. The devil hates that. When all the limbs are full of leaves and fruit, what do you do to you can't say, the world can't say, well, that isn't a fruit tree. The world can't say anything because they love the brethren. They love the tree. The tree looks and says, we're full of the same leaves, where evidence is overwhelming. You want the pear tree? Yes, you is. You want the pear tree. And you can't refute it. The believers were one. Think of for a moment, I guess. Anyway, we didn't get very far, but I'm trying to get you to see. It's all the pieces all come together so easy. Anyway, over to Acts chapter 4. And in Acts chapter 4, picking up, if I can. 4, and you know, the early church, they were of one mind and one heart. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They all had the same vine, the same leaves, the same fruit, all filled with the Holy Ghost. God does the same, represents our Lord Jesus Christ in each heart. And they spake the word of God, and they spake the word of God, and with boldness. Verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, were of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And the result of this oneness, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. And God was gracious. Because they were what? Allowing God to be God. Allowing the tree. The tree wants to fill the branches that abide. And the tree is going to take the branch and fill it. So God, what are we? We're just little old believers that you placed in your wonderful body and said, yeah, wonderful. And you've come into our heart and you placed us into your heart, a unique oneness. And you want that to be seen. Yeah, I want to show that. I want to show that in you, in you, in you, in you. I want to show it. That's what I want to do. And the world can't fight it. The world can't fight it. They can't do a thing about it. In closing, Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, may I pick up, please, in thought. In Romans 8, may I go directly in the light of the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful words in the chapter. Verse 28, and we know, what do we know? That all things work together for good. Everything isn't good, but everything works together ultimately for good. To them, to who? To them that are loving God, to them who are called according to his purpose, to abide and have fellowship with him, abide in the tree. So what are you saying, God? Well, all things work together for good, and we ought to be loving God for the outworking of that wonderful life that God has for us in a most wonderful way. And in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, mark out ahead of time, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, that purpose, he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That we're going to be changed. We're being changed to be like him. That's 1 John chapter 3. Now you're children of God. We're waiting to be like him. Verse 2. So, now chapter 8. Now we got our side. We're loving God's working. Verse 28, as he works all things for good, ultimately that's what he's doing. So I love God for that. We love God. Now, God, what are you doing? Chapter 8, verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Remember, they hate the brethren. Yeah, God said, they hate you. They'd kill you if they could. And as it is written, verse 36, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. So God, well, you didn't make us big lions to be able to overwhelm them. No, we're just little old people in a world that hates darkness. I mean, loves darkness and hates light. And here we are. And we're there. And we're sheep. Sheep. Ah, all things work together for good. God, they do. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, or beyond all that we can ask or think, beyond, above, beyond, out of our reach. We are more than conquerors through him that is loving us. That's our Lord. We are loving him. All things work together for good. He is loving us to make us more than conquerors. Go together. I am loving you, said God, to make you all things work together. but as I love you, you're more than able, as sheep in the midst of wolves, you're going to be more than a conqueror. The leaves are going to stay, and the fruit's going to stay, as long as you abide, as long as you fellowship. No one can touch it except you. We are the only ones that louse up our life relationship with God. No one else louses it up. We do it all by our lonesome. I either am going to believe and abide and thank God that I were able to know him. I got to quit. I hope I got a little bit. Our Father and God, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Help us in every way understand the simplest thing you've told us, and God, and that is the least practiced across the face of the earth. And therefore, God, Christianity, Christians are looked down upon, understandably. So God, help us in every way. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that we love us to the point, God, we're caught up with just, we thank you for loving us. We love being loved. Ah, God, to snuggle up. God, just, you got to help us. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.